I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show. Today, by my very good friend and business partner on a number of different projects and ventures, Mr. Paul Skuse. I'll leave Paul to kind of tell you a little bit more about him and his journey. And in lots of ways, that's really what we're talking about today, which is the concept of Ikigai, a beautiful concept created, curated, formed over the centuries in Japan. And Ikigai means a reason for being. And what better reason for being than having a conversation first thing in the morning, fueled by some lovely coffee, to muse over the concept of Ikigai.
Morning, Neil. How are you doing?
So let's just kind of explore this concept, because I mean, obviously a lot of people are not going to understand necessarily straight from the word go what Ikigai is, and I guess a lot of people won't have actually even heard of the concept. Do you want to give me a little bit of an outline over what it is, and actually then we can start to explore a little bit deeper what it kind of means for, I guess, both of us?
I think it's, as you mentioned just then, it's your reason for being. I think that's quite a highfalutin kind of statement to make. So I think underneath that, the reality is it's in its simplest form. It's what gets you out of bed on kind of a cold, wet winter's morning as much as a beautiful kind of spring or summer morning as well. It's kind of what fuels your fire and kind of really kind of just makes you excited about the Monday morning, really, and every other morning. And that doesn't have to just be in your business. It could be if you're looking to set up your own business, or whether or not you're looking to have a little side hustle going on in the background, or just in different ways of really improving every aspect of your life. And I think the key there is really making it about the destination. It's your guide. It can be your North Star. It's all about the journey, rather than just going to your destination being your reason for being. Yeah, the journey, every step is as important as the destination, if not more so, actually.
I think that's going to be a key thing as we go through this concept, the idea that the journey is almost it, and that is almost the reason for being. I think a lot of people get really hooked on this concept of my goal, my dream, my kind of future vision, this North Star that you talk about, and almost kind of then become, I don't know, very distant to the actual journey and the process of getting there. And bear in mind, it could be that it takes you almost a lifetime to get to the end point, whatever that end point might be. And so you kind of missed all that wonderful experience and learning and development and everything that goes between today and that point. And I think for me, this is the real beauty of Ikigai, is that it's this reason for being, and it's not the reason for doing. I think there's a really key word there, being. The reason for being rather than the reason for doing. And I think being means that it's all about very much being in that moment and actually being in that moment. So really conscious, really awake, really aware. And yeah, great, having some future kind of point that you're trying to get to, but actually being in something that right here, right now, is that motivation that you talked about. First thing in the morning, you can get up and you're being that person. You're being in your Ikigai.
And we use the sat nav analogy a lot, don't we? As on Google Earth, on Google Maps, you need to know what your destination is, but that just becomes the direction finder, and then it's every single road and street and turn and every step along there. That's what's really important, and you know that you will get to where you need to be, and that course can change slightly over the time. And it's really having the mindset of wanting to be in this for the longer haul as well. And I think we live in an age of hacks these days. Hack your life in 9 steps, hack your diet in 2 weeks, and learn speed reading in 20 minutes. I looked at one of those and I jokingly said, I haven't got time to do that course. It's rather than looking for the quick fix world where you can hack your life in 140 characters or less, I think it should be a case of working out where you want to be going, getting on that path, and then just really enjoying and absorbing and being nourished by every single day and every step, and just building the habits, the non-sexy, the non-exciting, it's kind of the kind of the right way of doing it. It's compounding. Yeah, compound interest, as they say, is the eighth wonder of the financial world. Well, compound habits is the first key, I think, to an abundant life, really, you could say.
That word nourishing, I think that's a really key thing. I know, so when you and I talk a lot about kind of sort of diet and exercise and health and that kind of stuff, it is all about nourishment, and nourishment not just for your body physically, but I guess for your soul, really, and actually this kind of deeper nourishment. And I think certainly this concept of Ikigai, which we will talk about in a lot more detail in a moment, because we're still kind of pitching it, as it were, as being something that's worth listening to and thinking about. That nourishment idea, I think, is so important, because it's a fuel in lots of ways. And basically what it's doing is, it is giving you that flow of energy. And I always think, when I think of Ikigai, it is about flow. So we talk about journey, we talk about destination, we talk about, kind of living in the moment. But it is all about, as you say, getting those habits, getting that flow, getting something that's almost going to become even more than a habit. It's almost, it becomes just a way. It is just, it happens. And often when you kind of leave a few of the earlier steps behind, you realize, oh my God, it's actually part of me. It's not something that I have to really think about. It just happens. And to me, that, again, that's the difference between doing and being. Doing is a conscious effort to do something, whereas being, you're in that flow. You've got that energy. It's almost, it's in your energy bank account, and you're kind of then sort of starting to invest from that bank account to, move you in this direction that you're foreseeing. And I don't know, there's just something really intrinsically lovely about that.
It becomes, as you mentioned there, it really becomes a shift in identity. It becomes who you are. And that then drives everything. As you say, we wake up every morning with a certain amount of, like a battery, restored energy. And that battery goes down during the day as the energy levels, we eat and we drink and everything to kind of keep those energy levels as high as. But when you've found your Ikigai, when you know what you love doing and passionate about it, that energy bank, I find, is just constantly topped up at different times during the day. And even at the end of the day, you sit and think about kind of where you're looking at going, or what, the needle being moved forward today in a small or a large way, and you just get that burst of energy. And what it really does is it says goodbye to discipline. That for me is a real soapbox for me. All these books and all these self-development, personal and professional development experts are saying, you've got to build your discipline muscle, you've got to train yourself to discipline. If you enjoy what you're doing and it becomes a habit and becomes your identity, then you don't ever need any discipline. It just becomes who you are, and you think nothing of it until you stop and turn around and look at it and think, do you know what? 6 months ago, I wasn't doing that, and yet I do it every day now, and I don't even think about it. And it's becoming more and more important that it's those little steps, every single habit, every little routine, every shift in identity, as long as you know you're on the right path and trying to get to that certain destination, but knowing it's concentrating on the steps individually rather than just the end result.
Have a little look at it then. I think we've kind of built it up into being this thing that's well worth attention. I think certainly anybody who's listening to this or watching this now is thinking, okay, you've kind of sold it to me. I'm interested now. Let's talk about some of the steps in there, some of the elements of Ikigai. I mean, obviously, you've been a proponent of this, and certainly somebody who's really sort of actively been using this over some time now. Do you want to just give us a little bit of a view of the various kind of elements of it?
It's the intersection of four core elements that are making up part of our life. Ikigai, from your Japanese point of view, it's ostensibly from your business or your work, but it's bigger than that. It's a holistic approach to your way of life. So that it covers, it's not just business, it's not just life, it's work, your role, your values, or your core little sphere of influence, really. It's everything that you're doing, all wrapped into one. And it's an intersection of what you love, first and foremost, making sure it's something that you're good at. It's something that the world needs, and that could be from a small level right to lofty, you want to be president of the world. From the business point of view, it's what you can be paid for. So that becomes, rather than just your business, it's your role, it's your side hustle, or it's kind of your role, could be your as an employee, or your role within your community, or it could be that you're a mother, it could be your ikigai is to be the best mum to your children as possible. So it goes through all levels, and every single one is important as the other, and each role is as important as each other. So to go through those again, it's what you love, it's what you're good at, it's what the world needs, and it's what you can be paid for, or I'd say nourished for, to kind of add that element to it as well.
And I think when it comes down to somebody trying this for the first time, and they might be, and I'll use the word stuck, in a role or in a place in life that doesn't really serve them. So they might be really good at it. They might have been doing this for years. It almost certainly might be something the world needs, because it is something they've been doing for years. So therefore there is something, you know, being returned to the world. They may well get some value from it. And I think it's interesting, the final one that you mentioned there, you know, what can we be paid for? I think this payment is almost, as you say, it can be beyond the financial. I think, you know, the obvious one is if you're in a job, it is what you're going to be paid for. But if you're not talking about this from pure career perspective, then it is, you know, what value do you get back in return for living this life and for being this way? So I think that paid for, you can view that in quite a wide way. But it's really interesting that, you know, you could be stuck in a job that you're good at, the world needs, you're getting paid for it, but there's an element missing. And so that is why I use the word stuck, because it might be something that you actually no longer love. Maybe back in the day it was something you were doing, but this is 10, 15, even 20 years ago, and you think, you know, I am now stuck in this scenario. And I think for me, the lovely thing about Ikigai is it's just that awakening to think, oh yes, I'm doing something the world needs, I'm getting paid for it, I'm good at it, I don't love it anymore, or I never did love it. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really nice, because it starts to focus you, and it's almost like there's this little light that comes on. If one of these elements is missing, you can't do it with three, you definitely can't do it with two, you're not going to have a reason for being with just two of them. But if you can manifest all four, and this of course takes time to kind of figure out what you're good at, what the world needs, what you can get value from, and what you actually love, or does it? You know, this is the thing. I mean, it could and probably should be something that just goes, oh, it's that. How have you found yours when you've kind of been working through this?
I didn't find it. It kind of revealed itself to me. I knew when the beginning, you were there, when I had that first intuitive gut feeling saying, do you know what? This is the right path. This is exactly, I always say, it felt like I was on rails as soon as I came up with the idea for the core business. There was a resonance, but it's only over the last 4 years of that it's actually revealed, my ikigai has revealed itself to me, just by pulling back the layers. Yeah, very much like a sculptor will look at a block of marble, and they can see what's in there, but they have to chip away in order to reveal the piece of sculpture underneath it. It kind of felt very much like that. It's I knew kind of a field I wanted to be in, a sector, and I thought that was my ikigai, and I can go into that into detail a little bit in a moment. But I think it was, there was a layer that was way underneath that, which was intrinsically me. That deep resonance, and that was my ikigai, and that's really accelerated the process. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, even in the last 4 weeks, to be honest, it's becoming more and more prevalent in what I'm doing. I think the key to finding it, or allowing it to reveal itself to you, and I think it works both ways together, it doesn't necessarily have to be monetizing your hobby. So we were speaking earlier about, for instance, as an example, you may be a fantastic cook. This is something you're good at. You love cooking. The world needs great food. Yeah, let's face it. And you could be paid for being a chef. Now, you might look at that and say, well, that's fantastic. That's my ikigai. And it could be. And if it is that, that's fantastic. But there may be a layer down underneath where something else reveals itself to you. Maybe you need to be a restaurant owner. Maybe you need to be, you know, a chef that's doing online courses to get people to make, you know, fantastic meals on a budget at home. It could be, there are so many different ways of finding what your true path is within a certain sphere or sector, or just within kind of a mode or an aspect of your life. Yeah, you know, I think using my core business as an example. So we create design and marketing and CGIs for the property development world and for the architecture world and the yacht world. As a child growing up, architecture and graphic design were my two passions in terms of a career. And I always knew I wanted to be either an architect or in advertising somehow. So I went down the design and advertising route, and I had a role for many years. And then I stepped away from that into self-employed and continued. And then 4 years ago, set up the business that specializes within the architecture and the property development world, and I knew I was on the right path, but my ikigai has actually revealed itself to me very recently is actually it's the level down, and what really floats my boat, lights my fire, is actually setting up new companies, building strategy, pulling in collaborative partners, business partners and subcontractors and employees, building the team, building the product, strategizing, taking that out to the world, and then just constantly challenging ourselves and what the product is to see how we can improve it. So it's actually my ikigai is bringing stuff into the world that has never been there and doing something at such a really nice high standard with the people that kind of give me energy as well, and hopefully I give them energy. I'm sure I do. I've seen, you know, seeing what we're like on some of our Zoom calls recently, and very much, yeah, just developing and improving everything. So for me, my personal ikigai is actually growth. It's progress, and that gives me so much fulfillment, and that's what really is my identity these days.
Interesting going on here, then, isn't there? Because as you say, that there is this. I guess opportunity that if you kind of just fall into ikigai and you look at it and you spend maybe an afternoon out in your garden or out in a park if you were allowed to, just kind of sort of sitting there and musing over this concept, and you think, you know, I can spot it, I can find it. You consciously go looking for it because you think, I can fill these boxes, I can, you know, I can tick those things, and I know what I'm good at, know what I love, know what the world needs. I think I could probably be paid for it, as you say. It's kind of manifesting a almost a business or a career out of your hobby. It's almost that feels too obvious and too, I don't know, egocentric, too self-centered. And what you're saying, I think, which is really, really interesting, is this idea that having gone through that exercise, that begins the process, but then you have to step aside, almost take your ego out of it, release it, should we say, to the universe or whatever you believe, and kind of then see what begins to happen and see what begins to come at you. Because I guess you would never have really found yourself in this point if you've consciously and actively progressed down that single route. Because if you weren't open, these opportunities en route probably wouldn't have presented themselves.
I totally agree. I think it's, which is why we're talking earlier about, you know, you need to be in this more for the long haul. It's not, you know, ikigai is not a hack. It's not a kind of, oh, well, you know, as you say, I sat in the garden for an afternoon, it's chilled, you know, lying on a hammock or lying on the grass in the park, and then kind of thought, yeah, well, this is it. That's where I'm going to go. Well, that's that down, you know, tick box, happy days, let's move on. I think, yeah, my favorite example of ikigai is Steve Jobs. Was very much his passion was fine craftsmanship and great design. That was his ikigai. Apple, the business, you could see, if you watch how it evolved over the years, it was quite complicated to begin with. It was very much of its time. Yeah, the two CIs and the early Macs with a big beige box. He made it a smaller beige box. But what he was really interested in was the fonts and the design and the craftsmanship. And those Apple products over the years were following his Ikigai because the design was getting better and better and there was more and more craftsmanship. And the beige box became the gray box that became the colored box that became the semi-opaque white box that became the silver box. And the logo represented the evolution of Steve Jobs and his team's, Ives, his designer as well, kind of just paring back and making the craftsmanship more and more prevalent in their products. And I think the Apple credit card, to me, that's the zenith of Steve Jobs' Ikigai. Just Google Apple credit card and it's just this silver credit card shape with just this Apple logo etched on it, and it's one of the most beautiful pieces of simplistic design. But there's kind of 30 years of story of him revealing or finding his Ikigai in order to be able to say, yeah, do you know what, that sums up what Apple is, because it's simple and it's craftsmanship, it's mastery. So his Ikigai was kind of manifested in the world in all these products, but it was just a way of just doing everything really, really well.
I think that sums up one thing that's really, really key here. And I particularly think, and this is quite a thing I feel quite passionately about, is that if you're doing Ikigai really well, it's not about chasing the money. Because I think a lot of people go into, say, entrepreneurial situations, or they try and create this kind of entrepreneurial thing within them, may or may not be there, may not be a natural tendency. They set up a new business, for example, and the first thing that people would always ask them is like, oh, where are your customers? Where's the revenue coming from? How are you going to monetize that? And I hear this a lot, having just recently set up the Mindful Collective, which is a not-for-profit CIC, community interest company. Pretty much, I would say, pretty much 90% of people who I've been talking to say, oh, it's really, really interesting. How do you make money from that? And it's
like this three words, not
tendency. It's just, almost to me, it becomes something that's quite ugly when it comes to Ikigai, because Ikigai is a really pure thing. It kind of transcends and sits way, way above just purely financial. And that's why I always sort of say this whole thing about what can we be paid for. It doesn't have to be the financial return. You know, if this is a reason for being, and you might say, well, my reason for being is I want to be a millionaire. Well, in the current millennial sort of generation, I want to be a billionaire, because, of course, millionaire is not enough. It's almost that becomes the reason. And, you know, when you look at that, you think, hold on, what are people missing here? There is this much, much deeper, much more fundamental thing going on here. And I think that Steve Jobs example, which has made me think of this, was so not about chasing the money. It was not about chasing the dollars. And the dollars basically came because everything else was in place. So that return, what we can be paid for, it's almost that if you can get the other three things absolutely on point, the money will follow. Or the return will follow, the value back to you follows. And it is this kind of law of attraction thing going on, isn't it, really? That if you can craft and create the other three. So if kind of forced into, well, which one should I focus on first? Well, I would say it should always be one of the other three. Then what can we be paid for? Because if you lead by what can I do that I can get paid for, it's almost that you can then box yourself in. And how could you do that Steve Jobs exercise? How could you craft the most amazing design and eventually, obviously, the most cash rich organization in history? You couldn't do it from that as a starting point.
And the money becomes an outcome and becomes a result. And don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic result, but it's the fulfillment, as we were saying. It's that fulfillment is way more important. And if you can get that fulfillment, and if it is a business or a side hustle that you're looking to kind of get involved with in there, then the money comes part of it, but it's kind of, that becomes a nice, a lovely bonus on top. Really, it's the fulfillment. And it's the, as we saying, it's the process, it's the steps. Another Japanese, and maybe this is for another call completely, is a Japanese concept of Kaizen, which is literal translation, make better. And for me, that's what drives everything I'm doing constantly, is if you can just make it better, improve, how can we get better? How can we just make that tweak, do that tweak? That's the step-by-step. That's the here and now. That's the right now, the today, this week, this month, this year, rather than constantly just going, well, I've come up with my mission, my vision. Well, that's it, isn't it? Surely the universe will bring that in, or it will just happen because I've created a mood board. No, it's that's great. Put it to one side, have a look at it, yeah, almost daily, just to remind you where the destination is, and then go and concentrate on the next step. What is the key? What can I do to move the needle forward, or what lever can I pull to just make it more fulfilling, to make it, yeah, better? And I think the key, yeah, for all of this is, we're talking about the end result and the steps, but I think the real key is taking it right back to the beginning and saying, well, so how do I find my ikigai? And we've said it very much reveals itself. I think we do kind of a course correct and say, yeah, I think that's pretty much the route I need to be going. As you say all the time, love the analogy, you can't see beyond the horizon. So you can't really kind of just say that's exactly where it'll be, but I know what steps I can take that'll take me towards that point that's beyond the horizon. But I think the key is something that I believe that as a species and all, we're losing the real key ability here, which is to think, which is to stop and not look for immediacy, but to kind of just stop and think and really sit with what is it that is ticking those four boxes. Yeah, what I'm good at, what I love to do, what the world needs, and what I can be paid for. Yeah, abundance as well as, you know, money, and really take the time. This is so important. This is not an overnight thing. This is the 20-year overnight success, as you and I laughingly joke about often. And I think, yeah, it's just tapping into that underutilized skill and take the time to really think and sit with it. Take notes, yeah, just really kind of write everything down and then walk away from it. Completely walk away, switch off, and let that filter into your subconscious mind. And you'll know when you're on the right kind of track, the right kind of direction, it will kind of resonate. You'll know it because you'll go, ah, do you know what? That's it. You'll get that moment. And then let it really start to reveal itself, and let it take the time that it needs to really reveal that that kind of that purpose, that fulfillment, that that ikigai, that whatever it is that will just make your life better on all fronts. And as we said right at the top, just, you know, you bounce out of bed in the morning full of great energy. You know, you're excited about the day and excited about what you do. Yeah, and it can change at different times in your life. We don't just have one ikigai and that's my life's purpose. I think there's a lot of talk out there that you just find your purpose and you just go for your purpose. I think there are many mountains to climb in our lives, and you get to the top of that one that's your ikigai at the point, and then there's the next mountain, and that will reveal itself as you do that climb. But it is worth taking the time to see which mountain that is. Yeah, there's a lovely expression about you can spend your time climbing up the rungs of a ladder to get over this wall, only to find that actually when you looked over the top, you'd actually put your ladder against the wrong wall. And I love that analogy. It's kind of, yeah, make sure you do that work first, then know where to park your ladder and go, right, this is where we're going, and really then take action. Yeah, big or small, it doesn't matter. Every day, take action, and that compound effect, just, yeah, at the beginning looks very small, and before you know it, that huge momentum is taking place, and you're on this runaway train, and it's great fun. Yeah, it's for everybody concerned, really. So it's really take the time, really sit with it, find it, allow it to reveal itself, keep taking steps, and yeah, just become that person who you know you'll need to be kind of further upstream to where you are, and just, yeah, really become that person today, basically. And that way, yeah, you just improve constantly. And I think I keep going back to the word think is just constantly in my head at the moment talking about it. It's, like I say, a very underutilized skill these days. But I think, yeah, the real truism here is I think, you know, the quality of your life or your business, or both, it's never going to outgrow the quality of your thoughts and the quality of your actions. I think that's so important. The quality of your life or business is never going to outgrow the quality of your thoughts and actions. And I think if you just take one takeaway today, it's that, yeah, that's really key. Thoughts and actions, that's how you get somewhere, not just by saying, well, I'll do a hack, or I think it's this, I'll go and do that. Really take the time to sit with this and to do the work.